The following is the audio recording of the news conference announcing Father Anthony B. Taylor as the seventh bishop of the Diocese of Little Rock. It was recorded April 10th, 2008 at St. John Catholic Center in Little Rock. Copyright 2008 Diocese of Little Rock. All rights reserved. The news conference begins with comments by Monsignor J. Gaston Hebert, Diocesan Administrator.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is about the love of Jesus Christ. If it is not about that, we're not celebrating the right thing. It is about the proclamation of the gospel. It is about Jesus calling his apostles and saying, "Follow me." And those apostles answering. It is about apostolic succession. It is about the fullness of the priesthood being given to the bishop of the diocese. It is about 165 years of Catholicism within the state of Arkansas. It's about the 28 years that is the average for bishops to serve within this state. Good things come to those who wait. We are so very grateful to Almighty God that he has made this day come. When our Holy Father, Benedict XVI, named Bishop Anthony B. Taylor as the seventh bishop of the Diocese of Little Rock, he chose well. Bishop Taylor is tailor-made for the Diocese of Little Rock. He is perfect for us. He has a wonderful background in Scripture, having a doctorate in Scripture from Fordham University. And therefore, can he proclaim with authority the word of Jesus Christ to our people? He was educated in Rome as a seminarian, having the best teachers in moral and dogmatic theology. And therefore, can he draw from both fonts of revelation in proclaiming to his people? He is fluent in Spanish, and therefore can proclaim to all the people as their shepherd within our diocese, now made up of at least half Latinos. He has had almost every office in the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City that has to do with clergy. He was head of the Presbyteral Council, the Clergy Welfare Fund, the Personnel Board, and therefore can he well empathize with the priest of the diocese who minister with him. All this background for this wonderful priest makes him exactly the right priest for the Diocese of Little Rock. All good things come to those who wait. Bishop Taylor, on behalf of the laity, on behalf of the diaconate, on behalf of the priest, on behalf of the religious, we welcome you with overflowing love, with true welcome to our diocese. During these almost 2 years that it has taken us to arrive at this point in the history of our diocese, and it is a historic day, I have been guided by the wonderful mentoring of the Archbishop of Oklahoma City, Archbishop Eusebius Beltran, the Metropolitan, made up of not only Oklahoma City, but of Tulsa and of Little Rock. He is a genuine man of God. He is humble and kind, and he was always there when I needed him for encouragement or advice. And now, Archbishop Eusebius Beltran.
Thank you, Monsignor. I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. It sounds like you've really been anticipating and waiting a long time for this day. I'm very, very happy and pleased and honored to be here today. But I'm also very sad. I'm happy and honored because one of the priests of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City has been selected by our Holy Father to become the new bishop, your seventh bishop, here in Little Rock in Arkansas. But I'm very sad because we are losing Father Taylor, and he becomes Bishop Taylor. But yet I realize that the church is universal. Oklahoma City is only one little part of the church. Little Rock is another part. There's a universal church in which we all share in and all serve. I couldn't help but think that 30 years ago, when I became Bishop of Tulsa, and I moved to Oklahoma from the state of Georgia, and I got very interested in the history of the church in Oklahoma. And I discovered that the church literally came by the missionaries who came out of Fort Smith and crossed the Arkansas River into the Indian Territory. And learning that and learning more and more about the Catholic faith in Oklahoma, I always look back and think Arkansas helped us to get started. So in a way, I'm very happy to be able to say now Oklahoma City and Oklahoma itself will do the same thing. But there's a trite statement that is made sometimes among people. It says, your gain is our loss. That's not trite for me. Your gain really is our loss in Oklahoma City, because you are getting a wonderful shepherd, one that was selected by our Holy Father, the Vicar of Christ, and is being sent here to proclaim the good news and to share the life of Jesus with all of you. And so I'm extremely proud and happy to present to you your new bishop, Bishop Anthony Basil Taylor, the seventh bishop of Little Rock.
Archbishop Sambi, the Papal Nuncio to the United States, called me on March 18th to tell me that the Pope had chosen me to be the next Bishop of Little Rock. I was stunned, speechless. I heard all the words, but they didn't register at first. Nothing could have been further from my mind. In fact, the first thing I said was, oh my gosh. It's like one of those near-death experiences where your whole life flashes before your eyes. And my next thought was, what's going to happen to my parish? But then apparently the Pope needs a clearer response than, oh my gosh. And so Archbishop Sambi pressed a little further. So he asked me, how do you feel about this? And all I could think of was humbled. Humbled by the trust the Lord is placing in me. Humbled by the confidence in me of everyone who had a hand in recommending me to be the Bishop of Little Rock. Humbled by the scope of this new calling, which is far greater than anything I've ever done before. Humbled by my own inner conviction that when the Lord calls, the only answer that a faithful servant can give is, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Every bishop traditionally comes up with a motto and a coat of arms. And I've taken my motto from Psalm 37:11. Jesus quotes this in Matthew 5:15. It's one of the Beatitudes. But I like the version in the Psalms a little bit better. That verse goes, "The humble shall inherit the earth." But there's a problem in that the word translated as humble is different than humble as we usually think of it in English. You know, humble attitude, timid, or something like that. In Psalm 37:11, the underlying Hebrew word is anawim, those of humble circumstances, the poor, the oppressed. Those of humble circumstances will inherit the earth. Jesus' preferential love of the poor and marginalized was courageous, not timid. And so must we also be, if we are to be his faithful servants. Not to the exclusion of anyone else, but in recognition that those with the greatest need have the greatest claim on us. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated 40 years ago this month. And on the day of his death, you know, in my hometown of Ponca City, Oklahoma, the civil rights movement wasn't very much present to us. But in the TV reports about him and what he had done, I had an experience that was an important moment in discerning my call to the priesthood. I was 14 at the time. The insight was this that I learned from Dr. Martin Luther King. Being a faithful Christian means more than just saying your prayers and trying to get your own soul into heaven. Indeed, if you're interested only in your own personal spiritual welfare in the next life, you don't really believe in the redemptive power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther King taught me that being a faithful Christian required that I do whatever I can to help build the kingdom of God here and now in the concrete circumstances in which we live in our place and time. And that to do so requires courage, not timidity. Martin Luther King was not timid. Fear of God, not fear of man. If you don't align yourself with the kingdom of God in this life, how do you expect to be admitted to the kingdom of God in the next? And who are the people of humble circumstances of the Diocese of Little Rock? Probably the same people that I've served over the last 27 years as a priest in Oklahoma. The same people whom my inspiring predecessors have served here in Arkansas in the past. Bishop Byrne, who ministered to Arkansas Catholics living in the most humble circumstances imaginable. I just finished reading the history of our diocese. Bishop Morris, who established schools for disadvantaged boys and endangered girls. Bishop Fletcher, who integrated all the Catholic hospitals and schools in Arkansas, who publicly rebuked the governor of the state for trying to block the desegregation of Central High School in 1957. Bishop McDonald, who at his work on behalf of organized charities, his forceful defense of the sanctity of life. Bishop Sartin's efforts to reach out to Hispanic immigrants and his call for immigration reform that respects human dignity. All six of my predecessors reached out to the humble of their day, the people of humble circumstances of their day, with special love and commitment, as have thousands of other faithful Arkansas Catholics over the last 165 years, clergy and laity, sisters and monks. And I pray that God will make me a good shepherd for the church and people of Arkansas, on whose shoulders, the shoulders of these predecessors, I now stand. Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
The press will now have an opportunity, should they so wish, to ask whatever questions they would like of either Archbishop or the Bishop. Please.
Hello, I'm Heather Hahn. I'm with the Arkansas Digital Practice at your local statewide newspaper. I just wanted to know, I understand that in your role in Oklahoma City, you were very much involved in trying to fight 1808 in Oklahoma. And I wondered if that was something, an issue that you were going to be taking up here, immigration issues, that there's an initiated act that they're trying to get on the ballot here. Is that an issue you see coming up here in Arkansas?
I'm not familiar with the I'm not familiar with the legislative things going on in Arkansas right now, but I will preach fully the teaching of the church about human dignity and God-given right to immigrate when circumstances so require. And the church, I mean, we saw that the call of the gospel was to speak out and be an advocate for people whose rights were being violated. And whatever the circumstances here is, I'll preach the same gospel here. Muy contento de estar aquí con ustedes como el nuevo obispo de la diócesis de Little Rock en Arkansas. Cuando el nuncio papal me habló el 18 de marzo para invitarle, anunciarme que el Santo Padre me había elegido para ser el nuevo obispo de Little Rock, yo estaba pues sorprendido, muy asustado, pero pues con muchas ganas. Vengo aquí para servirles. Es un llamado del Señor y estoy aquí para servir a todo el pueblo y la iglesia de Arkansas. Y pues mis los obispos anteriores de esta diócesis han servido muy bien a la diócesis. Mi lema como obispo de Little Rock es los humildes heredarán la tierra. Y es un cito a la citación del Salmo 37:11. Los de humildes circunstancias heredarán la tierra. Y así, yo estoy muy contento, emocionado, venir aquí para servir como el séptimo obispo del Rock.
Bishop, if you would like to jump in role with the association. In your statement that you gave earlier, you mentioned Martin Luther King, obviously, took civil rights to a political end in a certain way. Is the way to reach out and help those help people through political action? I hope people were talking about before, from some of Hispanics there, issues of immigration powers, arrests, things like that. Obviously, just come from Oklahoma where some similar laws have been put in place.
We issued a statement of resistance, the Priest Council of the Archdiocese, that we would not cooperate with the law that violated human dignity. And so we made it very clear that those provisions of the law that were contrary to our faith, we would not comply with. In fact, we've never asked people's immigration status. I don't need to know that for anything I do. And my role is to support people. And I'm very aware of how the law can be used to do great injustices to people and harm people a lot. And you have to speak out about it. The church needs to be a place, and is a place, where people can feel at home, a place where they're cared about as a human being,
where external things like a person's immigration status really don't enter into anything that we do.
Bishop Malcolm Glover, KUAR, the local NPR station. I'm wondering, as a follow-up to that, you talked earlier about your predecessors and some of the initiatives that they worked on that were in the public eye. Are there any initiatives or projects that you want to work on coming here to Little Rock?
It's too early for me to say. I don't, you know, I just found out about this March 18th. So.
Still thinking about it. Besides,
well, I haven't begun to think about it. Obviously, I need to consult with everybody here to find out what's going on and what people have done here before. You all know the scene a lot better than I do. I don't know it at all. And I'll depend on you all to provide me guidance on this.
And I guess a follow-up to that, what is that process going to be like now that you're here? Do you have to travel back to Oklahoma at all? What's the process going to be?
I traveled back to Oklahoma this evening. And I don't take possession of the diocese until June 4th or June 5th. And there are structures here, the Presbyteral Council that doesn't meet when the see is vacant, but that'll be a major consultative group. I've got a lot of listening to do and a lot of learning to do from you all. Yes.
Oh, sorry. When will it be your installation, and I guess it would be an ordination as well? Is that how that works?
Yes. The night before, there'll be a reception where I present my
vigil service.
Vigil service the night before at Christ the King Parish. And
it's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And it's Wednesday, June 4th. And then on Thursday, June 5th, there will be the ordination to the Episcopacy and installation as Bishop of Little Rock at 2 o'clock at the State House Convention.
Yes. 6,000 people, everybody invited.
In fact, I purposely asked to do it in that large venue because I want this to be something for all of us. And I would not want to have to give out tickets and exclude some people because of space. So the biggest, so that everyone that has any interest in coming, I'd love for you all to come.
I'm wondering, besides, you talked about during your comments earlier, you talked about a scripture that continues to resound in your mind. I'm wondering, has your predecessor or anyone who you consider a mentor give you advice moving into this new position that you're willing to discuss?
Archbishop, give me lots of advice. We talked all the way over here. the priests, I've only spoken with three, four priests from here so far, and very helpful. I'll depend on you all for orientation on you know, what's the story here in this diocese. I'm very clear that this is a plum diocese. It's a wonderful place. Little Rock has got an outstanding reputation within the Catholic Church. And so I've had the experiences of following other pastors in parishes that were excellent pastors before me. And it's so easy. It's wonderful to come to a place that's been cared for so well already and not walking into a mess. And Little Rock's in great shape. And so I'm very grateful not only to be your bishop, but also that Little Rock is in such great shape as I arrive.
Anyone else? Yes.
Sorry.
Well, for the next 2 months, I will continue in my job as administrator until the bishop is installed on the 5th of June. And so I'll be continuing in my regular job, as all of you better recognize. After that, it's Bermuda shorts and tea. Archbishop Beltran, would you conclude this with a blessing, please?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray, O good and gracious Lord. We stand here in your presence now as a people of faith. We stand here as a people with hearts filled with gratitude for your gift of life, for your institution of the church, for your ordination of priests and bishops, for the development of the community of faith through all the sacramental rites. Lord, bless all of us and continue to be with us and help us on our pilgrim journey until life everlasting. I ask this blessing now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
Everyone is invited to the reception right downstairs in O'Connell Hall. There'll be a little
dining hall.
Thank you. There will be a short time here that the news media can ask Bishop Taylor any individual questions they might wish. But everybody else can be adjourned to the dining hall. Thank you so much.